Why don't we open our Bible up to Mark chapter 10? And we're going to be looking today at verses 13 through 16. And let's read it together to lay the foundation. It says, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but his disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to him, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them." Now, in this particular passage, I've entitled this, "Let the Little Children Come to Me." It's kind of appropriate. Remember, last week we left off talking about marriage and divorce and really looking at marriage. Obviously, you've got children. And now Jesus goes right into an episode here with children and really kind of, again, them bringing children to him. And so it's very appropriate in the way that this falls together. And it's interesting to me as well, as we celebrate Mother's Day, it's, again, typically a day that we focus on mom and show her special attention. And so we should. And we pray that the moms here would be blessed this morning. But again, there's a much greater ideal that God has in his mind besides just blessing the moms for being moms this morning. Because really what God is doing through the moms and the dads is raising up a generation of godly children. Those who do demographics tell us that if there aren't a certain number of children that are born to a certain people group, that eventually that people group will die out. And it's interesting, according to modern day statistics right now, America is kind of at that point. We're maintaining our people group, if you will. But if we go any lower in the number of children, eventually we're going to see the people group we know of as America die out and a new one take over. And more importantly, in the body of Christ, you know, there seems to be this real aversion today to having lots of kids. That's why it kind of surprises me. They have these shows on where this guy, they have, what, like 18 kids now or something, and Jake plus 8 and probably 28 at some point and all this, and you got all these. It's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. You know, the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. But Satan, the Bible says, has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so what I believe he has successfully done in our society and our environment is convince us that the less children, the better. And I would say for selfish purposes, you know, the less kids, the less you have to worry about. But the blessing that we miss and what God can do through the next generation and our children, it is important that we keep our generation going. And the generation that's in place now, it's important that moms and dads raise them up in the Lord. You know, it's been said that we're one generation away from losing Christianity in America. Guys, we're not far from that now. As you know, Christianity in America has dropped dramatically, and there's still a large number of people who say they're Christians. But as far as true biblical Christianity, it seems to be gradually disappearing from the map. And that, I think, has a lot to do with less children, number one. And number two, the children we have, not raising them up in the Lord. Now, I know that many of you are raising your children up in the Lord. But again, that's really what this passage is going to be about today. Letting the children come to Jesus. And not even letting them come to Jesus. Really, before that, the parents were actually bringing them to Jesus. And how children are raised is of utmost importance to the Lord. You know, Jesus had and has a special place in his heart for children. And not just because they're the future of tomorrow, but what we're going to see today, as we look at children a little bit, children are a picture of the kingdom of God. You ever wonder what it's going to look like in the kingdom of God? What it's going to be like in the kingdom of God? I mean, I think as a kid, you probably think, man, what are we going to do when we get up there? You know, it's like, you know, is there going to be this? Is there going to be that? What are we going to do? And I think sometimes even some people get an idea that somehow they'll be bored in heaven. Like, you know, I don't know. What do you want to do today? I don't know. And what do you want to do for the next 10,000 years? I don't know. You pick, you know, and whatever. It's not going to be that way, guys. God is going to be showing us, the Bible says, new and wonderful things, era after era, you know, time after time, just showing us new and exciting things. It's going to be a very amazing and exciting experience in heaven. And today we're going to see in children, God has given us a picture of what we're going to be like. Now, he desires that we be like that now, not childish, but childlike. He wants us to be like that now, but when we're in heaven, it's going to be that way. I mean, we're not going to be up there worried about all the things that we're worried about now. We're just going to be celebrating and enjoying the Lord. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to go. And again, God is building the kingdom even now through our children and loving them. And so God wants moms and dads, who are a very important part in children's lives, to cultivate, to shape, to mold the next generation, because each generation is extremely important in keeping on this legacy of the Lord. Now, it's interesting about kids. Children are born with a natural and trusting belief in God. It's something God puts in them. You talk to little kids and they just believe in God. I had the privilege of working with little kids When I first came to the Lord, and you might think this is funny, I actually taught gymnastics for a while. That was a stitch. I'd never done gymnastics. That's a whole other story. I'd never done gymnastics in my life. And you know what? Listen, this is what God does. If God is going to use you, I believe this personally. I'm not saying that God can't use you in any larger way if you don't do this. But I personally believe that if God is going to be able to use each of us in any larger way, at some point he's going to put us with children. And what I've noticed is the people that end up with children are the ones that God uses in greater ways. And why is that? Because children teach us about the kingdom. And that's exactly what the Lord is going to talk about today. They teach us about the kingdom. And I remember getting with the kids, and we would get down and we would pray before each of our little classes and do these little tumbling things. And it was amazing the things that would come out of these kids' lives. And not all of them came from believing homes. And even the ones that didn't come from believing homes, when they spoke of God as not as if does God exist, but they spoke with conviction about, yes, let's pray to God about this. They knew God existed. You have to teach a child that God doesn't exist because it's a natural thing. God puts it in their heart. So those today who say they are atheists, someone has taught them to be an atheist. They didn't learn that on their own. God put a heart in them that said, I am real. I'm here. I love you. And they had to be taught or make a choice to veer off of that. Now, when it comes to children, we begin working with kids and talking to kids. Those of you that have done that, you know there's a lot of very entertaining times. And one thing about children is they may not always get everything 100% right, but their heart is always in the right place. And it's kind of interesting about this article I read. An Episcopal church in one of its publications revealed some answers given on a church school questionnaire by the children. And they are beautifully incorrect. They gave this questionnaire and said, now give us the answers to these. They said, tell us about Noah and who was Noah's wife and give us a little information. One of the children wrote on there, well, Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. Another child wrote on there, well, the fifth commandment is we are to humor our father and our mother. Isn't that great? And believe me, they do humor their father and mother. I love this one because apparently they've been talking about, you know, the cloud they followed and going through the wilderness and God leading them, you know, the fire and the pillar and all that. And one of the kids wrote down about Lot. He said, Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. Love it. Lot was a happy man. Then they had a church history part where they studied church history and they asked some kids some questions about church history. And one of the things was they studied about the Pope. And so they asked them, said, tell us about the Pope. Where does the Pope live? And one of the kids answered, of course, they wanted to say Rome. And then one of the kids wrote down, the Pope lives in a vacuum. And apparently the teacher had told him he's kind of in a, you know, an environment that's not like everyone else's. And I try to imagine, what did this kid think? He lives in a vacuum. I mean, another little girl said, but a Christian can only have one wife and this is called monotony. So kids are great. Don't you love kids? It's wonderful just to have kids share their heart. But there's a beauty and a simplicity and a purity to a child that just thrills the heart. God wants us to be that way. I hate it when we grow up and get all nasty and ugly. What happens to us, gang? Our heart gets ugly. We yell at people on the street. We're mean to each other. We're slow to forgive. We're going to talk about what kids are like and say, God, have mercy on us to get back to the way children are. Make us childlike again. And so that's exactly what the Lord is going to be dealing with today. And so let's just jump into it. Notice verse 13. It says, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Now, again, this is very interesting. Let's a little bit of background first. Bringing your child to a rabbi to bless them was very common in that day. It was a common practice. And again, with Jesus, it was no different. Jesus was a very famous rabbi. His name was spreading. And people said, hey, if we're going to have somebody pray for our kid, let's take him to Jesus. You know, there's going to be a dedication or whatever. Let the Lord do it. Because after all, he's giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, opening the ears of the deaf. The Lord's doing amazing things. And I understand that. But at the same time, and because it was evident God's hand was on him, but at the same time, the apostles realized, hey, this guy is really something. He's very important. They didn't fully understand at this time who he was completely. And so they were trying, I think, to do what all of us might try to do if we were around someone very important. They were trying to protect him. You know, just we can't get too many people to Jesus. He's very busy. He's very important. And we thank you for doing that. Just leave your message here and we'll make sure that he gets it and all this. And Jesus was like, wait a minute. No, no, no. I'm here for them. I want them to come to me. And what a beautiful trait of those that are in authority and that God is using to be open and to be able to allow people to get to them. That's something very important. And the Lord himself, I know he couldn't get to everybody all the time. He was traveling to this village and that village. But whenever he was there, they had his time. They had his attention. And so they felt maybe he was too important or too busy, no doubt. But it's interesting the response this elicits because we're going to see in a moment the Lord gets very angry. And the language it uses there means he was extremely angry. Indignant is actually the word. that they wouldn't let the children come. Jesus desired that the parents, note this, here's why he was angry. They were stopping the parents from bringing their children to the Lord. What do you think the Lord views our nation like in many of our laws that we're passing today? When you see our nation passing laws that are saying, we're going to stop you from bringing your child to Jesus, Jesus gets very angry, very indignant. You know, we don't think about Jesus getting mad very often, do we? Think about Jesus. Again, he's just loving and kind and all the things we think about Jesus. And those things are true. But there were times that Jesus got really upset. Remember when he cleared the temple out? They had made the house of prayer a place of merchandise. Rather than honoring God in that place, they were now honoring merchandise, the god of money, and taking advantage of the people. The Lord made a whip of cords and he drove them out of the temple. And now here's another time we see that the Lord gets very angry, and I wonder what his face looked like. I don't ever want to see that face. I kind of think maybe it was the face my dad used to give me when I did certain things. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I had a great dad, but I did a lot of dumb things. And so, what are you doing? But the bottom line is, I would never want to see that face. They saw that face. And why did they see it? Because they were stopping people from coming to Jesus. Guys, we can never be those that get in the way of anybody coming to Jesus. And remember what the Lord said. If you make any of these little ones stumble, it would be better for you that a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. That's intense. That's what our Lord feels about this. When I look today at what's happening in our society and saying, well, you can't teach the Bible in schools and you can't try to push this off, that makes Jesus very, very angry. And I want to exemplify very, very angry. You know, it's interesting, even today in the UN, and of course, a lot of strange things come in through the UN to try to impact our country because of the laws and things we have in place. But many of our lawmakers are starting to get in line with the UN and give in to certain things. And one of the things that's been pushed in the past recent years is a thing called child rights. And they're pushing for child rights, trying to take away the parental rights, and trying to actually, it's not been successful to come into America yet, but they're trying to bring it into America through the UN to actually make it illegal for you to tell your children what religion they should follow, what direction they should go. You need to let them grow and let them develop as they would normally develop and not interfere with them. Guys, that is absolutely the opposite of what everything in the scripture says. As a matter of fact, I have one verse that I'd like to share about that. If we leave our children to themselves, Proverbs 29:15 says, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. In other words, we are to train up a child. The Bible says the exact opposite. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and even when they're older, they won't depart. And so the bottom line is, God has given us a mandate as parents. We've got to train them up. We need to train them up in the Lord. We need to bring them to Jesus. Now, I run into these people ever so often, really only two or three, I guess, over the years, a couple anyway, and they say things like this. Well, I really don't want to try to influence my child. I don't make them come to church. You know, I'm not talking about 17, 18-year-old that's in rebellion. I understand that some kids, it becomes a situation where they can actually hate church more if you make them come. But I'm talking about little ones, 8, 9, 10 years old, even up through the early teen years, 13, 14, 15. And parents say, well, I don't really want to make them come to church because I don't really want to force Jesus on them. And I had one guy actually say to me, I want them to be able to decide. Now, I follow Jesus, but I want him to be able to decide who it is that he wants to follow on his own. The Bible says a child left to themselves will bring shame. Why is that? Because we are sinners by nature. Guys, listen, if you leave your children to their own to do what they're going to do, even the best of kids are going to lean toward the sin nature. That's how we're made. The Bible says we're born in sin. We are sinners. And I may shock some of you parents and maybe even offend you. But you know what? Even the kids that love the Lord the most, if we don't put up godly boundaries around their life, they're going to get involved in sinful things. Oh, not my kid. You see, you don't understand. I could leave. I can have all the cable channels open, none of them blocked. And I could leave them alone for hours with the controller. And I know my child would never turn it on because they know I don't let them when I'm not there. And they would never watch those channels. And I know those channels are strong, but they would never watch those. You're fooling yourself. And you're going to wake up one day and realize, and you're going to say to me what I hear parents with good, godly children say to me on a fairly regular basis over the years I've been involved in ministry, I never dreamed my child. Parents, it's, you know how kids grab the face of their mom when they want their attention? I'm getting everybody's face shut. Ready? Your kids will do that. I don't care how godly they are right now. I don't care how much they love the Lord. I don't care how committed they are. And here's a principle in that. The principle is with Peter. Remember Peter with Jesus. And he said, Peter, this night you'll deny me. He said, Lord, though they all deny you, I won't. I would never turn that channel on. And I would never go there when you were here, much less if you were gone. I would never do that. I would never get on the internet and go to those sites. You know that I'd never do that. And Jesus said to Peter, now I'm adding to that whole situation with Peter, obviously. I'm making application. But he said, Peter, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Translation, I believe your heart. I know you want to do what's right, but you have a sin nature that if there are not boundaries set up, you will fall. I worked with teens for many years. You guys know about that before we came here for about 5 years with youth group. And I've shared this with you before. And so parents, you've heard this, okay? So I'm going to tell it to you again, but here's how I used to deal with it. They'd come to youth group and there'd be some issue about maybe there was going to be somewhere they wanted to go and there wasn't a chaperone or enough or this or the guys or the girls. Pastor Mark, you don't trust us. You don't trust us, Pastor Mark. And I said, you're right, I don't. Unashamedly, I say to your face, I love you, but I don't trust you. And they'd get this kind of look on their face like, what? What do you mean you don't trust? I said, let me explain. I trust your heart. I trust that you want to do what's right, but you're made of the same stuff I am. And if you don't put boundaries up from it, even as I would sin and fall, you will too. I want to do what's right, but I still sin. How many of you would say in here that you want to do what's right? Most of us would say, I want to do what's right. How many of you are going to blow it today? Don't raise your hands, okay? Have a special prayer moment just for all that, all right? The bottom line is, guys, we are sinners, and without setting up boundaries in God's grace, we're going to fall. And so we have to not only train our children up in the way they should go, we've got to set up boundaries. We've got to guard the TV, guard the computer, guard their life, guard their magazines, guard their friends. Don't be afraid. Well, nobody can pick my friends for me. Well, you might can pick your friends, but if I don't approve that, you're not going to hang out with them. Because it needs to be somebody that I think is going to train you up and lead you to the right way you need to go. And as a parent, we're called to do that. And there's a real push today to remove that parental authority because of this principle right here. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And parents, you need to bring them. You need to bring them to the Lord. It actually applies not only to little ones, it applies when they get older as well. And so we need to be bringing them to the Lord. You know, we never should give our kids the opportunity to choose their own way until they're adults and they have the reasoning capacity to do so. Up until, at that point, you can let them go. But up until then, we have to keep a close hand on them. It's interesting. One said it this way. It's easier to build boys than to repair men. How true that is. Build them as they're growing rather than having to go back and do all the repair work that needs to be done. So the disciples start stopping them. And notice verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, I love this. He was greatly displeased. There's that word indignant. Again, it has an emphasis on it. I mean, very angry. And I don't know what the Lord's face looked like when it was very angry, but he was fit to be tied, as we would say. He was very angry, it says. And he said to them, let the little children come to me. And I bet he said it in a firm voice. I bet it wasn't, let the little children come to me. I bet it was, guys, stop it. You let those children get over here to me right now. And I bet they were like, you know, it's bad enough when your dad's mad at you, but God, that's a, okay, all right, God, I got it. You know, that's serious. But the Lord says, you let them come to me. And I know there was a serious tone in his voice. There was a serious look in his eye. And he said, do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. In other words, children are an example to what God is like. They're an example to what the kingdom is like. They're an example to what we are supposed to be like when we follow the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons, several things that children are like the kingdom of God, reasons that they are like that. And see if we're like that in our heart and challenge ourselves today. God, make me that way. And again, if you're a note taker, you can jot these down, lay them before the Lord and pray about them. And say, God, I want to be this way before you. But some of the traits of children that make them like the kingdom of God and really exemplify the kingdom of God is, first of all, they don't question God's authority. They don't question it. If God says it, that settles it. And oftentimes I see when we become adults, we begin to question God's authority. Well, Pastor Mark, how do we question God's authority? How do we do that? Well, the Bible says, again, we talked about it last week, you know, we're not to divorce unless there's sexual immorality. And in our society today, we have what is called no-fault divorce. It basically means you can get divorced for any reason. Doesn't matter. And sometimes even believers take that route. And you say to a believer, wait a minute, there's not a biblical reason for divorce here. Yes, I know that, but I'm going to do it anyway because, you know, the society says that I can and I'm going to do this or whatever. And the whole point behind this is that we're questioning God's authority. God says, no, here's how it's supposed to be. I want you to do what I say. And so the first one is never questioning God's authority, but it really brings us into the second one. And that is children, for the most part, little ones anyway, are obedient. Now, I know as they get older, they get disobedient. But what I mean by that is that typically smaller children do not become blatantly disobedient until they get older. They do what mom and dad tell them to do. And so there's a level of coming under God's authority, and there's also a place of being obedient to the Lord and say, God, you know, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. And this is where the rubber hits the road for us as adults, because there's going to be times in our life where God is going to ask us to do something that we don't want to do. What's our answer going to be? Are we going to obey simply because God said it? Are we going to obey even to the point of pain? Or as Paul said, hey, you've not yet resisted unto blood. Are you going to obey unto blood? That's the heart, you see, that God wants us to have. So obedience, trusting in what God says. And the next thing is, the third thing is, I love this because it's so true. Children have short memories, and because of that, they forgive easily. Parents, you ever blown up with your child? Spanked the wrong one? Or maybe you've done something where you lost your temper and you did something, you yelled, you said, what was ugly, that was what happened right there, what just happened? And you realize, I've really blown up with my child. You're thinking, man, this was just so yucky. And you go to your child, here's what happens. You go to your child, you say, and I hope you do this, because parents, you need to be asking their forgiveness. By the way, if you don't, you need to do that. That does not cause you to lose respect in their eyes, it gains respect. Because what you're saying to your child is, yes, I'm your authority, but I mess up too, and I'm going to get it right with you. And so you go to your child and you say, will you please forgive me of what I've done? And you know what they do? I've not yet, over 13 years of children, I've not yet had one of them say, no, you know, this, I can forgive, but I'll never forget, Daddy. You know what they do? You know what they do every time? I forgive you, Dad. And they come and hug me and start loving on me. You know, I'm feeling terrible because I messed up. And they show me love. Why? It's the heart of a child. They have a short memory. They're like, you know what? That's my dad. And I love my dad. And so Dad messed up, but I love my dad. And they don't have to think about it. You know, should I forgive him? Should I not? Maybe make him pay a little while. I'll forgive him, but I'm not going to let him know I forgive him for a week or something. And I'm not going to talk to him or something, right? Kids just say, I forgive you. And then they hug you and they act like they're so happy and they act like it never happened. It's like the memory is so short. It's like, boom, it's gone. And then they forgive that easily. Guys, would to God that we were that way as adults with each other. What happens when someone does us wrong and they really hurt us and they say, will you forgive me? We may even say, yeah, I forgive you. And we really intend to and really do. We try to extend that. It's not gone that quick, is it? It kind of sits there. And it kind of just eats at us. It's like, you know, and, oh, this kind of thing, whatever. Why? Because we've allowed our hearts to get hard. We've allowed our hearts to get crusty. We need to say, God, soften our hearts. Make them like children again so that we can have short memories and not hold grudges against people. Forgive them and move on and forgive easily. I love it the way kids do that. Now, another thing about children, the fourth thing I want to mention about children is that children don't look for the bad in someone. They don't look for the evil. If something looks suspicious, they give you the benefit of the doubt. They don't just assume you're doing something wrong. How many of us as adults, if we hear about something, you've heard, you know, innocent till proven guilty. Honestly, is that honestly how it is in your heart? When you see something on TV and you hear some of the reports, and sometimes it's pretty easy to tell that somebody's guilty, but how many times do we just say, you know what? I just don't believe that until I know anything different. We typically say, yeah, I knew it about them. I knew this would come out. I knew that. And they may be totally innocent. How many of you have been falsely accused? How many of you have been slandered? Something that's totally not true, but someone heard it and everyone just said, I know that's true and that's how it is and blah, 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 whatever. And see, children don't jump to conclusions about the guilt of someone. They don't even think about it. Their mind is so innocent and pure, they just give the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt. Would to God that we'd give the benefit of the doubt to each other. I read this story again. This really exemplifies what children are like in this giving the benefit of the doubt area and not just assuming evil and believing the best about people. Bruce Larson tells a story about being at a family reunion and his daughter told him this wonderful true story. I had to share it with you, especially in light of this. It says that her sister-in-law was a conservationist and she and her husband and young son were driving up the coast of Florida on vacation. And they noticed a sign that said, naturist camp. And they assumed that it was the same as a naturalist camp. And since they were conservationists and naturalists, hey, we'll hang out with some people. This would be kind of fun, like-minded. So they drove in, they parked their car, they began heading down toward the beach, and they quickly realized that this naturist camp was actually a nudist camp. When they came upon a group of people that were all stark naked cycling down the beach. Now, they've got their little 5-year-old boy with them, and they're all just wide-eyed and shocked, right? This is amazing. And they said, all of a sudden, the little five-year-old boy said, look, Mom and Dad. And as he pointed and he stared in amazement, he said, they're not wearing safety helmets. Is that not just like a child? You see, guys, here's the point. Here's the point. That's why God wants us to be childlike. Because rather than looking for the evil and what someone is doing wrong, he was just looking at something that was so pure and saying, they need to take care. They need to be safe. They don't have their safety helmets on. Amazing. This is how we need to be. And it's so hard to do, guys, because we get older and we start getting crusty. We need to believe the best of people. First of all, if somebody comes to you and tells them something about someone, you shouldn't really even listen to it. But number two, if you do, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. That's childlike. And lastly, and most importantly, children simply trust and believe everything their father tells them. That's what it means to be childlike. Everything you read in the Word, everything you hear the Father say, you trust Him and you believe Him. And that's what the Bible talks about when it says having a childlike faith. I recently saw a video where this dad, and this is a mean trick. You know, don't play mean tricks on your kids, but it's one of these things where he's going to pretend to take his nose. Now, maybe for a second or a little, whatever, but this like carried on way too long. And he bends over, you know, I'm going to get your nose. And he does the old thumb, you know, and the finger thing, you know, where they hold the mic. Look, I've got your nose. This kid was devastated. My nose! Give me my nose, Daddy! Daddy, give me my nose! It was pitiful. And he's like looking at him, can I please have my nose? But he's like, I don't want to lose it. It's wiggling away. You know, give me my nose, Daddy. And this goes on forever. And finally, he reaches down and puts it back on. And this big smile just goes, kind of this relief. I got my nose back. Now, guys, I'm not saying God would never play a practical joke on us. But how we need to believe our Father that way. How we need to trust Him. So much so that even if we think He does something really scary in our life that we don't understand, i.e. taking our nose, we say, you know what? I trust you with my nose. I don't know why you want it. It stinks. No, I'm just kidding. It smells. But the bottom line is we trust Him. We trust Him and we say, you know what, Lord, whatever it is, I'm not afraid of that. It's something that's okay. And so God is faithful to do that. And we need to be faithful. Again, that childlike trust in the Lord, saying, whatever you tell me, I don't care if it's scary or not. I'm going to believe you. And that's what makes the childlike heart. How we need that childlike heart. And really, that's what faith is all about. It's simply believing God at face value. Whatever God says, we say, Lord, I just believe you. And I trust you. And you're going to do it. It gets hard as an adult because we start thinking about what's possible, don't we? What's possible, what's not possible. You know, as a kid, you don't think about what's possible. If your mom and dad say they're going to do something, they just do it, right? Or if you tell them God's going to do something, they just believe it. What happens as we get older, we go, well, that's not really possible. And we become limited by the laws of nature. Why? Because we don't realize that God is outside the laws of nature. God can do what He wants whenever He wants. You know, if one of you come up this morning and say, you know, I got a headache, pray for my headache. I can do that with great authority and boldness. You know, Lord, I just pray you take this headache away in the name of Jesus. What if one of you walks up and says, I've got stage 4 cancer and they say I've got like 6 months to live? Can I pray just as confidently? You know, what's the difference in a headache and stage 4 cancer? Honestly, to God, there is no difference. Now, He's the Lord to decide what He'll do or what He'll not do, but He's the Lord. And we need to have that childlike faith to say, you know what? I just believe before God and just let's just pray, whatever you're going to do. And I've had my kids do that. I've had them pray for things where I thought, you know, this is impossible. This can't happen. And they just pray and it happens. And God reminds me, Mark, you're limiting me because you're getting too intellectual. You're getting too, you've got it all figured out because it's not possible. And the Lord says, let them come to me. Surely I say to you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it, He says there in verse 15. You have to come as a little child to enter the kingdom of God. What a statement this is. He's saying you've got to have your heart renewed and transformed to be able to do this. You have to become childlike. And again, those actions that exemplify what the kingdom is like. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't use reason. It doesn't mean that we don't think. I'm not advocating that. God is, as one little girl told Pastor Chuck one time, maybe one of his granddaughters, you know, God gave us a brain, we need to use it. You know, we've got a brain. Let's use our brain. So I'm not saying we don't use our brain, we don't use reason and think. But at the same time, when reason and thinking comes to its end, God begins. As one put it, man's extremities are God's beginnings. Where we run out, God says, now I can work. And oftentimes it's when we get to the end of the rope, as we say, that God says, now let me take you. You've been trying your own rope. Now let me do it for you. No limits on the Lord. You've got to be like a little child to enter the kingdom of God, to believe Him and all these characteristics we talked about. And verse 16, and He took them up in His arms and laid His hands on them and He blessed them. And I love this. It gives this beautiful picture of really almost an aggressiveness to the Lord, a passionate. is what the language displays there. Grabbing the kids and just praying for them and holding them and blessing them before God. Can you imagine what a scene that would have been? Exciting. And just showing the love and the care that he had for them. Just tremendous. And really, as we finish this passage and as we look at this passage today, guys, I want to challenge us in a couple of ways. One is, what is our faith like before God? Are we living childlike? Now, I know that all of us can't say, well, I've got all those down. But hopefully we've been challenged as to the way a child is and say, Lord, make me that way. And I want to pray before we leave that God would make us that way. That God, we would say to the Lord, God, give us a heart of a child. We've become too whatever, too grown up to trust in you anymore and just to believe what your word says. And so we're going to ask God to do that before we're done, simply believing him and trusting him. And in reality, that will determine what kind of Christian life we have. Whether or not we see God move in a great way. Remember when Jesus went to Nazareth? It says that he could do very few miracles there. No great miracles because of their lack of faith. They didn't believe. And guys, we can limit what God will do in our life because of our lack of belief and our lack of faith. We need to trust the Lord and we need to believe him and not doubt him and ask God to make us as a child. But the second thing I want us to do is this. There may be some of you this morning that have never come to Christ the first time. Maybe you've never been brought to the Lord. Maybe you grew up in religion like I did. I went to church my whole life, but I never met Jesus Christ. I never met him. I knew about him. I knew about religion, but I would go to church on Sunday and I would live like the devil all week long. And the Bible says, you will know them by their fruit. Jesus said this, you'll know them by their fruit. If they're living like the devil, they're of the devil. If they're living like me, they're of me. He said, it's not hard to figure out. Again, that doesn't mean that we don't sin. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. But I begin to realize I'm saying I'm a Christian, but it's not lining up with the reality. Christians don't do the things that I was doing. And so I had to come to a place where I say, all right, Lord, I guess I don't really know you. I need to repent. And it's when I repented. It's when I asked God to forgive me of my sins and I received him into my heart. That's when I became born again. That's when I met him for the first time. And I remember being like a child at 25 years old. I've gotten hard and crusty from all my sin and my life in sin away from God. Then I met God at 25 and suddenly I'm like a child again. The weight's off my back and I see things for the first time. Everything was new. And I understood what it really meant to be born again. And now instead of trying to fill that emptiness in my heart with all the things of the world that don't satisfy, Jesus began to fill my heart with the water that he gives that satisfies. Okay, some of you may be in that boat this morning. Right now you're saying, hey, I don't know that I know the Lord. I grew up in religion or I've done whatever, but I don't really know this relationship. I mean, I don't hear him talk to me and I don't really understand and all these things like you're talking about. I don't have that closeness and know him the way you seem to know him. Here's how you do it. Simply believe that he died for you. You know the gospel. Jesus died on a cross for us, the Bible says. But we have to believe that it was for us, not just for religion and not just for whatever. It's for us. And we say, all right, Lord, you died for me. Forgive me. I confess my sin to you. And then receive him. Say, Lord, I give my life to you. I take you in as my Lord and my Savior. And turn away from our sin. The Bible says if you do that, you will be born again. And there may be some of you this morning for the first time right now being brought to Jesus. I want to help bring you to Jesus and give you that opportunity to pray. Let's pray right now. Father, I do just lift up right now all the believers in here. First of all, that already know you. And Lord, just pray that you would challenge us to a childlike faith. Lord, that you would challenge us to get back to the way we were as children, just believing everything our Father said. Lord, being obedient. Lord, having a heart that has a short memory and is quick to forgive. Lord, believing the best of others and not looking for the evil. God, we need those hearts. We need that purity before your throne. And I pray you would do it in us this morning. God, renew us, refresh us, restore us as believers. But Lord, I pray for any this morning right now that don't know you and maybe they're being brought to you for the first time. God, I pray you would just pierce their heart with your Holy Spirit. Lord, your word says in Revelation that the bride and the Spirit say, come. And now your bride, the church, is saying to them, we invite you to receive Christ as your own Savior, to know him personally. But Lord, your Spirit right now is working in their heart as well. And you're convicting them right now. They know they have sin in their life. They know they don't have the intimacy. They know they don't know you. And you're saying, come to me and I will forgive you. I will wash you clean and give you new life. And I pray, God, if there's any in here like that this morning, that right now they would do that. And if you're like that this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I believe that you died for me on the cross. And I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. And I repent, Lord. I turn from my sin now and I turn to you. And Lord, I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. And now I give my life completely to you, Lord. Because you resurrected, I too will resurrect to be in eternity with you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.